Good morning, familia.
Good morning.
Good morning. That is, I love hearing that. That is so good. Sunday mornings, man. They're such a blessing. I get to be with you guys in just fellowship, but it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to stand here and share with you, help you break bread. And I know I can say this for Pastor Dell. We take it with great responsibility to prepare a good meal for you. You know, as much as Pastor Dell loves his meat, you know, and he loves barbecuing and making that so you could eat it and enjoy, I know that this is more important, and this, we hope that is always a great taste to you. Okay? Amen? One of my teachers at Moody once said, a good sermon will inform your mind, convict your heart, tan your butt, and move your hands. Okay? So that's what I hope to do this morning, all right? Amen? All right. The church, right? Worth becoming. I don't know about you, but if you're in ministry or if you're part of the body of Christ, doesn't matter how long, eventually, and I'm sad to say it, and Pastor Dell could confirm this, and most of you could confirm this, you will experience what I think we call church hurt. True or not true? Okay, right. All right? Because we are imperfect people. We will offend you, and you will offend us. We will upset you, and you will upset us. The goal isn't to divide or to break up. The goal is to stay unified and to be together despite all of our shortcomings, especially the pastors. Amen? Because we're not perfect. We've just been called to a different position within the church. I've learned this now in my 55 years of life. So I want to share something with you, okay? And I have actual medical proof for this. Ready? This is the way I like to say it, okay? In your 20s, how many do we have anybody in our 20s? Okay, a couple. Okay. All right, thank you. I'm going to offend you right now. Ready? No. In your 20s, you are very silly, aren't you? Weren't you? Okay, stop lying now. In your 20s, weren't you very, right? My favorite word is stupid, okay? Right? You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, right? Problem is that even though you act that way, you don't know that you are. So that's your excuse. In your 30s, you're still a little bit silly, but now you know that you do dumb things. And God willing, by your 40s, you've matured and you stop doing dumb things. And then by your 50s, you start teaching other people, don't be dumb, okay? There's a book called Your Teenager's Not Crazy. Moms and dads buy this book. And it gives the biological reasoning, okay, how the human mind develops and grows. Now, ladies, you guys are gonna love this part. Because a woman's brain is fully mature by the age of 24. All the ladies said, yes. All right. Now, ladies go, ooh. A guy's brain? Yeah, look at that. See, look at that. What did you say? 75? Look at that. See? 70. Technically speaking, it's 27. Now, if the brain is fully developed by the age of 27, gentlemen, and you're still acting like you're 15, there's something not right here, okay? So I got you to the age of 27. Anything beyond that, it's on you now, okay? That's not me, and that's not what the medical science says. Right, but we do silly things. You could all look back at your past life and go, man, why did I do that? Ooh, that was dumb. I got an excuse. My brain wasn't fully matured. Okay, only to 27. But we do that. In the church, God is calling us not only to holiness, but to maturity, to obedience in Christ. Christ said it like this, I know that you love me if you are obeying my commands. So our obedience to the scripture, our obedience to what he says is our proof, hey, I'm in love with that man. I'm in relationship with that man, okay? So maturity in the church understands really three things. I'm going to prove them right now. It's about service, okay? It's on Christ, and it's all about him and him only, amen? This is not, right, we've been here for 177? See? 178 years old. We are the oldest church in the state of Illinois still preaching the gospel. Amen? Amen. Yeah. And we want to keep doing that until Christ comes back. So there might be somebody after you, Pastor Dell, that comes. And if they do, amen, because we'll still be here, all right? But until that comes, we have to do that. If you don't know, get your Bible. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the pew Bibles right under your feet. If you want to open one of those because you don't have one, you're on page 647 and 648, okay? If you don't have one, open one, grab one. Yeah, they're brand new. They're for you, okay? Open it up. The nicest thing, I think the sweetest thing that a preacher could hear is the ruffling of the paper, you know? When we hear that, we're like, oh, they're paying attention, okay? As much as we like this, you can't hear it, you know? So we like that paper, all right? That's what it's there for you, all right? Again, it's maturity. We're looking for maturity, not anything else. So let me prove it to you, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and here's my first principle from the text. Ready? Maturity, a mature church says we are servants, not celebrities, okay? We are servants, not celebrities, especially Pastor Dell, myself, Pastor Rob, anybody in ministry, it's not about us, amen? Amen? All right? Don't look here, look there, okay? And in fact, when I preach, honestly, in the back of my mind, I'm holding one vision. So there's a screen right over there that I could see the points and all this stuff. But in my imaginary mind, I see Christ sitting on the throne. And I'm only preaching for him. And I'm going, is it good? You know, and I want to hear him go, there you go, boy. You know, that's it. You know, and the angels go, look, he's sharing. That's what I want to do. And by doing that, you guys get it. But again, maturity says we are servants, not celebrities. Look at this. Beginning of verse 1. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready, because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, you not worldly, behaving like mere humans. For whenever someone says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not acting like mere humans? Okay? The first four chapters of 1 Corinthians, is he's aiming and trying to hit the problem. The problem is division is happening, all right? Division is happening within the church because the church is saying, oh, I'm with him. Oh, I'm with him. Okay? If I could say it like this, let's put it in a modern day sense. Oh, I'm with Pastor Dell. Oh, I'm with Pastor Rob. Oh, I'm with Pastor Santiago. It's not about us. It's never been about us. It will never be about us. Okay? It's about Christ. Somebody should have said amen right there, you know? Yeah, it is, right? And we like to do that. It's, ugh. Paul, because of that, he calls them infants in Christ, right? He tells them, you're acting like babies. I can't give you steak and filet mignon because you're still on milk. He's telling them, hey, you're not ready. All these gifts in this wonderful church, and yet this is how you're acting. You're acting like the world. Here's evidence of this. There's jealousy and strife and division, verses 3 and 4. And ladies and gentlemen, if we allow this into our church, Satan will come in here and rip us apart. He will tear us up, and he will rejoice in doing it. Don't let him do that. Amen? Let's stand together in unison and in love, all right? And keep going forward. He keeps pointing back because in the first chapter, chapter 1, he tells them this, beginning in verse 10, right? He tells them this. I'm just going to read it for you, a little bit of context, divisions in the church. He says, "Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree on what you say, and there being what? No divisions among you, that you would be united in the same understanding and the same convictions." Why? Right from the beginning, Satan came and started attacking the church with false doctrine and false things. And he started, hey, and as the church was growing and becoming this new thing, because nobody ever seen people who loved one another and cared for one another and blessed one another. And now Satan comes and he tries to mimic it, but then it says divided. And there was a thing called Gnosticism in that day and another couple of lies. In fact, the book of Galatians, Paul writes to them, right? Because the Jewish Christians wanted the non-Jewish Christians to be like them. You're saying, hey, you got to be a Jew first before you can be a good Christian. He's like, no. I love barbecue. I could eat my barbecue, okay? Okay? They're like, no, you have to be kosher. In Christ, no. In Christ, we're all one. And he's like, hey, let's stay together. The immaturity of the church creates an internal division, okay? In creating discernment and dividing, focusing or disfocusing us and taking us away from our mission and vision. And praise God, I had it here. Didn't know that Pastor Dell was going to give it on the screen. But that is it. About impacting and guiding and seeing people being transformed by Christ to be a bridge builder, okay? Because this is why we're here. This is why this church has been here for 178 years, so that we could go out and make a difference. That's why we're here. You've seen this, unfortunately. When people are immature and they make it about themselves or they let things happen, disunity comes, breakups happen. Unfortunately, even in our community here in Illinois, right here, we've seen, and God bless them and watch over them, but we've seen pastors in our own community no longer pastoring. Why? Because of these same things. Satan gets in. Church, Long Grove, don't let this happen to us. Okay? Stay on guard. Stay on guard. Stay of one mind, one heart, one vision. Okay? The church is marked, sometimes it can be, a church that is marked by pride and division is showing that it's spiritually immature. And it doesn't matter how gifted it is. So how are you growing beyond where you're at now? Do you want to become stronger, more obedient, more holy? Or are you content with just, as we used to say, taking the bottle, right? In Spanish, we call it a bobo, the pacifier, right? What do we call it? What do you guys call it? We call it bobo in Spanish. Anybody have a different word? Huh? The binky, right? Yeah, some people wear binkies here, you know? Like, hey, put it down, you know? Right? Put it down. There's this great little commercial now of this little girl, right? And she wants to touch the thing, right? And the mom says no, what does the little baby do? You know? Starts crying. I know that little girl. I raised that little girl, you know? Like, no, because we're not celebrities. We're servants. Verse 5, then Apollos. Look at what then is Apollos. What is Paul? They are all servants through whom you believe, and each one is the role of the Lord is given. I planted, this is Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but it's God that gives the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's co-workers in God's field, God's building. Verses 5 through 9. Paul and Apollos were not rivals in ministry. They were fellow servants. In fact, you know what people say about Apollos? Apollos was said to be a better and more eloquent preacher than even Paul. Apollos, you know, I don't know who's your favorite preacher on TV or whatever. That would have been Apollos. He just had the gift of gab. He could be eloquent. And Paul says, yeah, that's good. That's nice. But my preaching is going to come with power, not with words. Okay? Paul planted, Apollos watered, but only God gives the growth. We are all working together. We are all working together. Amen? That is what we do. Okay? Please don't be about, oh, look at me. Even the purpose of the Holy Spirit, okay, which is the third person of the Godhead, his job is to point to Christ and say, nope, look at him. Look at him. So I get kind of scared when churches say, look at us. That is not long growth. That will never be long growth. We're going to point you to the one who can transform you and shape you. Okay? And we use that word purposely, transformation. Beginning with your mind and your heart and then hopefully the way you look and act. Ephesians 4:11 says that. As pastors, our job is to build you, okay? To create you, to train you up so that who does the ministry? Me? Pastor Dell? Answer is no. We develop, and then you guys go, okay? That's our job, all right? But we do it together. We're going to be the first ones doing ministry. You'll see Pastor Dell first. You'll see myself first. You'll see Pastor Rob first. Why? Because we know. And then hopefully to behind to my right and to my left, you're going to see the church moving like an army that it is, advancing. See, I said army. I did not say Marine Corps, okay? All right? All right? So don't elevate the leaders above Christ. Never, ever elevate a leader before Christ or above Christ. We are nothing. We're servants, not celebrities. God help anybody. Because when you put that person on a pedestal, you're just setting them up to fall, man. Because they're going to do something to upset you. And when they do, God help you and God help them. Okay? Do that. Remember, servants, not celebrities. Okay, number two, principle number two. Okay, be careful on how you build. This is most important, okay, beginning of verse 10. According to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as skilled master builder. That word master builder, right? And the word builder there, you know this word because you hear it growing up. It's called arquitecto. You know what an arquitecto is, right? An architect, right? And another builds on it, but each one is to be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than what has been laid down. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will be disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will experience loss, but he himself will be saved, but only through fire. When you see scripture talking about it, always, when you see the thing of fire, that is a picture of judgment. Let's see how good your work is. And they put it through the fire. The only foundation is Christ, right? Paul laid the foundation in Corinth, preaching to Christ. No one can lay another foundation. This is not the church of John Smith or whatever. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It's upon him that we are all here. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, he says this, but even if we or another angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I know and say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, a curse be on him. Two times, Paul right here is like back to back. Don't do that. If you're preaching anything, if anybody ever I know not from this pulpit, but stuff we might see on TikTok and YouTube or channel or whatever, if they're not preaching about the gospel of Christ, change the channel, turn it off. That is not the gospel. That is not the gospel. It's only upon Christ that we stand. Every life, every church must be built on this. Not only us as a church, but individually, you, the believer, where are you building your life on? There was this book that I read years ago when I was doing youth ministries, like 50 years ago. All right? Great, great book. And it laid out three questions to every teenager. I still remember the questions because they were significant. And when I read this book in the when I was 20s, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to be doing this. Three most important questions everybody answers in your life. If you get these three, everything else is easy. Number three, okay? Question number three. Ready? What career are you going to choose? Okay? Pick a career that's a blessing, where you can make enough money, and you can be a blessing, hopefully, to somebody else. Okay? Question number two, who are you going to marry? Because all of civilization is built upon the family unit. So picking and choosing who you're going to marry is not like, oh, he's pretty, you know, he's handsome, oh, she's hot. No, you got to go deeper than that. Question number one, question that Jesus asked Peter, who do you say I am? Who's Jesus Christ to you? You got those three questions, you're good. Everything else is easy. That's the foundation. Every person has to be built on that. Could you imagine a church, I put it down like this, a church without Christ is just a social club. Ouch. God help us. Let us never be a social club. You've seen it, right? Careers, people trying to be ambitious, laying a foundation only for themselves, and it's never going to be. They'll never make it. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 28, he tells them again. He's like, hey, therefore, if anyone hears these words of mine and acts them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the rivers rose and the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Okay? You know who that rock is, right? That's Christ. If you're not building your family upon that, your life upon that, if we're not building the church upon the rock, we're just a social club with hymns. God help us. God forgive us. Paul was reminding the Corinthian church that all of us would make poor saviors. We're not good at it. All right? I would be a terrible savior. I would. Because the minute you all ticked me off, I would just lightning, you know? I would. Ask me, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I sometimes think if a God had a different mission for me, I would love to be justice. Because I wouldn't mind. Come out of it, all right? The proper foundation is my life. Be careful how you build in verses 12 through 15. Builders can use different materials, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, and hay, okay? But one day, all of that is going to be revealed. Oh, I'm doing this for God. I'm part of this ministry. I'm doing this. That's nice. You doing it for you or are you doing it for God? Because it's going to go through the fire. And when it goes through the fire, everything is going to be revealed. This is the verse I've been chewing on for about a good year. And it honestly, I can tell you, church, it terrifies me. It puts me in check. It puts my heart in check, and I want to share it with you. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, and you know this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Oh, I'm going to church because fill in the answer. I'm going to warn you, and I'm going to encourage you, come to church to experience Christ, to be transformed by the worship, by the praise, by the prayer, by the proclamation of His word. Be transformed. If you walk in here on a Sunday morning and then walk out on Sunday and you walk out back, for me, I failed. But how about you? When you walk in here Sunday morning, do you expect to hear God speak to you? I've heard it many times because I've even said it many times, right? How did you know, Pastor? You were talking to me. Trust me, I don't have cameras in your house. We don't know anything about what you do. But the Holy Spirit does. And He will reveal through the Word of God, and He will convict you. And as He convicts you, your job is not to run away from God, but to run towards Him. We were singing that song beautifully, right? Heart surgeon, right? Man, singing that with her, I was like, oh, that's what that says. That's me. But I know if it's me, it's you too, right? Man, it's awfully quiet in here, man. Is it an amen sermon or an ouch sermon? Which one is it? Okay. Remember, it's legal. You have to talk back to me, okay? If we're going to build a church, and this is what we're doing, we're building it on Christ. We're building it on love. We're building it on hope. We're building it on holiness. And we're calling everybody, come, come, as much as you want, come, come. We're not going to throw rocks at you. We're going to throw shades at you. You're going to come with all your bag, all your stuff, and we're going to just like, hey, come on. It's okay. Come on. I know the one that can wash you. Let's go. And you do that, and you come to Him, and He forgives you. Build something that's going to last. Something that when it goes through the fire, it's going to be like, I told you. Because if you're doing it for yourself so that you can get the praise instead of God, it's going to be burnt up. And you're going to be naked before God. And everybody will see. Okay? Last point. Last one. If we're going to boast, we're going to boast in the Lord, not in men. If we're going to brag about anybody at any time, what I want you to do is point them to Jesus, not to Long Grove Community Church. Amen? We're going to be a good church. In fact, I think we're going to be a great church. But our job is not to say, oh, look at us, come to us. No. We do what most every church does. We do. Praise God. But what we're telling you is that we know the source of what everything is about. We know the power, because it's about Christ, not about us. You might enjoy the sermon. You might love the children's ministry. You love the coffee and the way it greets you. Amen. All of that is good, and we want to do it great. But it's about Christ. So if we're going to brag about anybody, let's brag about Him. Amen? Verse 16, it says, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. Verse 16 and 17. I had the privilege last week, and we have this new lady at work, and she comes up to me. She goes, hey, I was reading the Bible with my daughters, but I don't know what I'm reading. I said, that's okay. That's awesome. Let's go. And she brings me a Bible Atlas book, you know? And she goes, what's this? On page one of the Bible Atlas book is the tabernacle of God. And I start explaining it to her, like, hey, this is this, and this is. I go, this is where the Holy Spirit would dwell in the Old Testament. I go, but now we are that temple. And she looked at me like, what? I go, yeah, you are now, can be the temple of God. And she went, what? And I knew, uh-oh, one of these things is not like the other. And I said, can I share with you what God is? And I shared the gospel with her. And she understood, and I said, do you want to receive Christ? And she said, yes. And right there, got to lead her to Christ in her office. It was cool. And I said, hey, by the way, now you are God's temple. And Christ dwells within you. Now go tell your daughters. And she goes, yes, yes, yes. So I'm hoping when I see her this week, she'll tell me what happened when she heard the gospel. But that's who we are, right? Paul shifts from an individual responsibility to a corporate body. Individually, all of us are the temple of God. But corporately, as the church, we are also the temple of God. This place, it's just a building. We're the church. But two things. We want to treat this place with reverence, right? Right? Yeah, there's a form of respect. You know, you come into this place. There's new chairs, right? It's more comfortable. That means I could preach much, much, much longer, okay? No, I'm only kidding, right? He's like, yes. Like, don't you dare. But there's a reverence for this place because we know this is where we all meet corporately and where we want to encounter God. But that has to happen on an individual level. How are you being the temple of the Holy Spirit? And Paul says, hey, not just about you, but it's about us. The church is God's temple because God's Spirit dwells in his holy people. I love it. During COVID, I saw this perfect sign. And the one church had it, and I thought, like, yes, amen. And, you know, they told the churches we're not meeting and stuff. But one church said they met. But there was a sign outside the door, and it said, the church has left the building. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying, right? My first pastor, Pastor J.L. Rivera, he used to say it like this, we gather to grow, but we scatter to serve. The church is on the move. This is why the vision of us, for us, is to make a transformation. We want to impact our communities. We don't want the community to come to us. We're going to go to them. And we're going to build bridges to them. And we're going to get in relationship with them. And we're going to guide them to Christ so that we can see Christ transform them just as he's transforming us. Amen? That's what we're going to do. Anything that doesn't do that, we're not going to do. I hope you get excited about that because you're like, hey, I want to do that. Because we'd love to see ministry happening in Buffalo Grove, like a life group over there, and one in Deer Park, and one in Mundelein, right? Arlington Heights, Barrington. All these communities around us, there's 9 of them around us, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9, right? We want to impact them, not only here, not just Long Grove, but all the surrounding communities, we want to have a presence. We want to have a beachhead like the Marines would do. Okay, that's my only thing, right? We want to get in. And they keep going forward and impacting and impacting and impacting, right? Because we're going to brag about Christ and what he's done. And you're going to be the gospel that no one's ever seen, but everybody reads. Because they won't open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they'll read Jose and Thomas and John and Mark and Peter and Maria and Susan and Karen. They're going to read you. They're going to look at you and go, wow, what's different from you? And I hope you don't say, oh, I go to Long Grove Community Church. Praise God. Say, man, can I tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what he's done for me? And he'll transform you. So don't let it divide or destroy you, right? We're going to brag about him. He said, let no one deceive himself, right? If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, since it is written, he who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the reasons of the wise are futile. Let no one boast in human leaders, for everything is yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas are in the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. Everything is yours, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. He's pointing them again. Where are you going to get your wisdom from? Go to anybody love to read. I love to read. Go to Barnes and Noble, right? The big bookstores, right? You know what the biggest section in any bookstore is? Anybody know? There you go. See? Trying to get the wisdom of the world, self-help, and a philosophy for this, and a philosophy for that, and a 10-page this, and a 4-page that, and this diet, and that diet. All of that, when it compares to Christ and knowing him, nothing. And Paul calls it, hey, know Christ, dwell with him, let him rule your life. Again, Satan would love to come and destroy and to divide, right? Because he invites judgment, but when you come with Christ, you have this. So I'm going to give you this little last little illustration. Ooh, I'm doing good. How many have ever seen the movie The Titans? I'm the only one. Remember The Titans? Yeah, right? Talks about a high school in the South. And it was the first time they were taking white kids and black kids and putting them together. And they had to come over, they had to come overcome their biasness and their racism and all that junk. And they're playing against a team that's a state qualifying team, and they're going to compete, and the fix is in. Because the refs are going to make sure that this team wins versus this team. And one coach looks back, and he sees what's happening, and he looks back at his little daughter, and the daughter's like, no, this is wrong. And he, as a father, says, I ain't going out like that. And he calls to the refs, and he says, I know what you're doing. And God help me. I'll go down with you, but I'm going to tell everybody what you did and what you're doing. And then he calls the team back, and the team is like, okay, what do we do? And he tells these kids, and I love it. He tells the kids, okay, don't let anybody divide us. You stand and you blitz them all day. Hit them, hit them, hit them, okay? Let them remember the night they played the Titans for the rest of their life. And all these kids are like, ah, and they win. Don't let anyone ever divide us. Let's stand as the church of Jesus Christ, built upon the rock, because it's about him, not about us. Amen? And as we stand together, black, white, Hispanic, and Asian, right? Can I say it, Republican and Democrat, right? All that stuff, put it to the side, because nothing is greater than Christ. Amen? I'm not an American, right? I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I praise God. I love this nation. I bled for this nation. But it's not higher than my Christ. Let's put him in his place. And everything else is subservient to that. Amen? Okay. If we do that, church, we're going to be a church that's going to be blessed. Because all this wisdom of the world is nothing. Okay? Don't pay attention to it. Just follow Christ. And I'm going to say to you with confidence, from this pulpit, you will always hear the truth. Pastor Dell, myself, Pastor Bob will preach you the word of God, teach you the word of God, not pointing to us, but pointing to him, and you follow him. You don't follow us, you follow him. Because there will be a day, right? Maybe? Pastor Dell will leave here, and there'll be another pastor that'll come. As long as the Lord tarries and we have a mission, we're always on mission. It's never about us. Believers belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Therefore, there's no need to boast in anything except him. And if you're maturing, if you're becoming the person we want you to be, you're going to see that and do that. Amen? Amen.